You're listening to audio from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, where we train students to preach the Word and reach the world. For more free resources like this one, visit www.swbts.edu/media resources.
Take your Bible and go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 this morning. Thank you, Brother Leo. It's good to be back with you. Leo served with us 8 years before coming here to Southwestern as our minister of music. Hurricane blew him over from New Orleans to Pensacola, and he was serving with us and just a fill-in for 2 or 3 Sundays when the hurricane came into New Orleans and they lost everything they had, and we asked him to be our interim, and then wound up staying with us almost 8 years. And then Dr. Patterson called him here to be the dean, and man, it's just good to be with Brother Leo. I love him. He is my brother. We've traipsed around the world together, and I love him. Thank God for him. We got ready to call our new minister of music, who's been with us just a few weeks now, as a young man that we called out of our orchestra. He was in the orchestra when I got to Olive 24 years ago. He was a trumpet player, John. John and his little wife, Angie, have 3 children, 1 of their own, and then 2 that they have adopted from Ethiopia. And the deacons asked me, they said, Pastor, I know you can't tell us the name of the new guy, but we just have one question. I said, well, they said, is he black? I said, no, but his kids are. And they said, that's all I can tell you. You just have to wait and see what's going on there. But we love little Ben and Eli that run around and the great guys. But Doc, we miss you. Good to see you. Choir said, hey, hello, but Judge Rogers, more than anybody, misses you in Pensacola, Florida. He would go down and sing for those naturalization times and sing in 3 or 4 different languages. And when those people from Russia or somewhere would come and he'd sing in their native tongue, I'm telling you, judges would weep when they would look at people singing the national anthem in their native tongue. So we miss you. We salute you. God bless you. And glad that you are here. Dr. Patterson, thanks again for the invitation to be back in this place. And I want you to take your Bible and go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2 as I share for just a few minutes with you. Got several friends that are here this morning. Dr. Smith, good to see you. Miss Dorothy, always. Sweet Liz says to tell you hello and bring greetings from her heart unto yours and for many friends that are here in this place. And good to have this group visiting with us this day. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I begin reading today in verse 20 and read through verse 23. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 20, you follow along as I read, because this now is the word of our Lord. Now in a large house there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. But refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. In the house there are vessels, some to honor, some to dishonor. Paul picks up here an illustration in the home and the house and the house of God and says there are varied vessels that are there. Some that are of earthenware, some that would not cost much, others that would be of gold, that would be of silver, those that would be of a greater value to us. At my home, every morning when I get up, I am the first up, and so I feed the animals. I don't feed them on fine china. I get a plastic bowl and I feed them. We have company. My wife goes to the cabinet and will use fine china. There are varied kinds of vessels. They're all useful, but some are more precious than others. Paul picks up on that and he says, in the church of the living God, there are vessels, some to honor, some to dishonor. And this morning, I want to challenge us to think about our vessel and who we are. Now, the vessel is important. It's not the most important thing, but the vessel is important. And it's important that you become a vessel, not of dishonor, but a vessel of honor. My mother is 82. I talk to my mom every Saturday and oftentimes during the week. This last Saturday when I called her, she asked me a pointed question and she said, "When you go to the seminary," as if there were just one, she said, "when you guys go to the school, to the seminary, are there any classes on what to wear to church when the preacher comes?" I said, "Well, they mention that and what we wear and how." She said, "Well, some of them have not been to that class, I'm telling you." I said, "Well, Mom, you know, things are changing." She said, "Well, I know, but I'm not changing very much." And I said, "Well, you know, the Bible says in the book of Samuel that God doesn't look on the outside." She said, "I know that text. But," she said, "I ain't God. I ain't looking on the inside. I'm looking on the outside." She said, "In Jesus' name, somebody needs to help those boys know what to wear." I said, "Well, it's a change in time. And people wear different things and we dress down or dress up." And she said, "Well, you know, they could just do better sometimes." She said, I don't have to wear a tie, but she said, "You know," and then she said this to me, Mr. President. She said, "You know, if the preacher doesn't set a standard in varied levels of life, the rest of us will fall way below that." That's not just about your clothes. You ought to take care of this vessel. If you don't know how to take care of your vessel, talk to Dr. Day. He'll help you know how to take care of your vessel. How to breathe, how to work out, play tennis. Matter of fact, I sent him a text the other day and told him that I was going to ask you if you might send him on an evangelistic venture to the Australian Open next year. He would love to go to that sometime. And amen, I knew he'd love to do that. Dr. Day takes care of his body. He helps us. But I want you to understand, you take care of this vessel. But now hear this preacher today. The outside is important. But the vessel of honor is an inside job. My good friend, Bill Stafford, an evangelist from Chattanooga, Tennessee. They wrote a biography of Brother Bill a while back. And here's the title of the biography: Bill Stafford's Life Story. A clear view from just a vessel. Just a vessel. You see, friend, when you understand what a vessel of honor is, then you come to understand that what is in the vessel is more important than the vessel itself. It's the glory of God. It's the Spirit of God. It's Christ our Lord in us that causes us to be an honorable vessel. When you come to the place that what you contain is more important than you are, you're on your way to being a vessel of honor. So this morning, I want us to think about being a vessel of honor for just a few moments. There are four action words in this text that I want you to see. They help us to know how to be a vessel of honor. I want to point those to you for just a few moments today. The first action word is the word cleanse. It's in verse 21 where Paul says, "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things." Now, the test here is, what are these things? What is it we're to cleanse ourselves from? Well, as you go back up into the text, you'll find Philetus and Hymenaeus, and you'll find that they were like gangrene, and you'll find false teaching. You've got to cleanse yourself from false teaching. I spoke to this a little bit in our church, stealing a line from Hank Hanegraaff this week. The ostenification of the church. It's coming. There's a whole book on it. You've got to learn how to discern what's true and what's false, and often there's a fine line. You'll have to deal, if you come to Pensacola, Florida, with what really is revival and the great Brownsville Assembly of God Church, where my dear friend Evan Horton is the pastor, and what they teach and what you'll come to understand. If you hadn't learned to deal with the homosexual issue from your pulpit yet, you'll have to learn to deal with it. You'll have to cleanse yourself from the false teaching, is what he's speaking of. This is the collective false teachings. That also becomes personal to you. And there must not only be a collective sin you deal with, there must be a personal sin that you deal with. As a matter of fact, it's a whole lot easier to shoot at other folks than it is to shoot at yourself. Cleanse. God, cleanse me from the inside so that I might be a vessel of honor. First word is cleanse. Second action word is the word flee. Notice it in verse 22. He says, now flee from youthful lusts. Youthful, to flee. Well, the question there is, what are youthful lusts? I can remember some of them. I don't believe this word has anything to do with sexuality. Youthful lusts are impatience, self-assertion, arrogance, ill-regulated passions. I remember the first car I ever tried to purchase. My dad was helping me, and I was getting ready to go off to college. Played 2 years junior college basketball and finished up at home, and now I was ready to go off to Birmingham, Alabama to school, and he's going to buy me a car. We went down and found it. I loved it. It was a Buick Century. It was black interior leather, 440 four-barrel carburetor. I'm telling you, it'd burn up more gas than, I mean, you couldn't drive it today. I mean, you just hear a sucking sound when you go down the road. I mean, you oh, man, but it would get up and scat, and I had many a ticket in that car. But well, they went in, the guy laid a price on the table. I said, man, that sounds great. And Dad said, whoa. He taught me what negotiation was about. I had some youthful lusts. No patience. Just self-assertion. Arrogance. Let me let you know a little secret. We've seen all of you that we need. Oh, come on. Tell it. My church has seen all of me that they need. I went to her 24 years ago as a young, brash, arrogant pastor. In 1995, God knocked everything out of me. It wasn't Jesus. Now, I've had to have some readjustments from time to time. But he dealt with me. To get me to the place that I was more concerned about what filled the vessel than I was the vessel. And I had to get over me. God opposes the proud. He is the opponent of the proud. Youthful lust. Flee! Flee. Run from arrogance. Run from those ill-regulated passions. And fall humbly at the feet of the Lord Jesus to be an honorable vessel. Cleanse, flee. The third action word that we find in his text is in verse 22. It is the word pursue. Pursue. After you flee youthfulness, he says pursue. And he says pursue several things. Pursue righteousness. Pursue faith. Pursue love. Pursue peace. And do it with those that call, who call on the name of the Lord from a pure heart. We pursue righteousness. That is how to be right with God. The imputed righteousness of Christ on our account that we are to pursue after being righteous. We're to pursue faith, a reliance on God and God alone. We're to pursue love, to love as Christ loved. I'm telling you, people will come into your life that you've got to learn to love, and the only way to love is when you pursue after the love of Christ, because you cannot own your own. It's what's in you. It's not who you are. I'm telling you, it's not in me to love some of my sheep. It's easy to love sheep when they're all on dress parade, but when they stink, it's another deal. Only the great shepherd can give you that love. The peace, that's the rest and the quietness. And then you pursue after fellowship because you do it with those that are pure in heart. Pursue. Well, what are you hunting? What are you... I have it in my pocket. I've started carrying it again. I didn't carry it for a long time, but I carry it now. And I brought it today just for you. When I sat where you are, I used to carry this little leather binder. I can hardly read what's here. We were challenged. Write down life goals. When I sat at Southwestern Seminary, I wrote down 9 life goals in this little book. I want to pastor a church with over 2,000 in Sunday school. I wrote that down. I was that arrogant to think I could. Number 2, I wrote down, I want to have $100,000 in investment. I didn't have a nickel to my name. I want to baptize 100 people in a year. I want to walk 2 miles every day. I wanted to preach at the Southern Baptist Convention Pastors Conference. Let me tell you, it's easier to pastor to preach at it than it is to run it. I ought to have a counseling ministry in my church life. I want to see my kids saved. I want to be a consistent soul winner and share the gospel every day of my life. Those were some things I wanted to pursue. I've done 8 of those. I'm writing a new list. God's not finished with me yet. You'll pursue something. And you'll either pursue arrogant things or kingdom things. You'll either pursue as a dishonorable vessel or an honorable vessel pursuits. Make sure you're after righteousness and faith and love and peace and fellowship. And then there's one last action word here in the introduction to this sermon. You cleanse, you flee, you pursue, and then in verse 23 it says that you refuse. Refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. Lord, I love to argue. Don't you love to argue? I learned more sitting in the cafeteria at Southwestern than I did any other room. That's where we argue. We argued Calvinism back then. Amen. I was to my buddies the other day. One was Al Gilbert, who's now president of North American Mission Board, and we're serving on a committee together. Somebody asked, because Al was running the meeting, they went around the room and said, how'd you meet Al Gilbert? And I said, I met Al Gilbert in the back row, ethics class, Southwestern Seminary, sat next to he and Pat Stewart, and we were feeding verses to Pat because he did all the talking, we did the research, and we were trying to stump the professor. We'd raise our hand and he'd talk, yeah, we were one of those. That's exactly right. Well, I'm just telling you, we're arrogant. We're arrogant. If you walk in arrogance, you get ready. God is about to deal with you. You got to have to learn to refuse some things and to back up. I at one time in my life had rather vaporize my enemies as win my lost friends. You're a lot better off if you win and you lost friends and you are vaporizing your enemy. Refuse those ignorant and foolish speculations. There's a time to stand. There's a time to argue. But not always. Well, that's what I wanted to tell you just by way of introduction. Now, the sermon's not very long, but I want you to see it. It's right here in the verse 21. If anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor. Now look at these next 3 phrases. I want you to see these. A vessel for honor is one sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Now you get your vessel fit, here's what's going to happen. You're going to be useful to the master. You're going to be prepared for every good work. But the word I want to hone in on for just a moment is that you will be sanctified. This is the filling of the Holy Ghost of God in your life. This is where what is in you is more important than who you are. It's the vessel being full. So here's my question as you sit in chapel this morning. Are you filled with the Spirit of Jesus today? A usable vessel is sanctified. Sanctified. We put on the Lord Jesus and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. And then we put on. We put on Christ and put off the flesh. Put on Christ and put off the flesh. Now, I want you to know 2 things are going to happen when you get filled with the Spirit of God. Watch this. Number 1, There will come in your life a spiritual exhortation where you will, from your spirit, your spirit will exhort the spirit of others. Friend, we've had enough mind game. We can challenge the mind. That's why our churches are dead today. We've lost the spiritual exhortive ministry from the pulpits and in the classes. We're not lifting the spirit of man. We've got to learn to deal again with the inner man so that the outer man, your mind, will, and emotion can die and be broken, and the Spirit of God coming through you, and that there's a spiritual exhortation, and therefore your pulpit, your lectern, your life is set on fire with the truth of God. Amen. Last Sunday, she walked by. She handed me a card. She's 7 months pregnant. I'd never seen her before. I'd had email from her, but I'd never met her, and she handed me a card, and it was underneath a check. It was a check for $50. All she had to give. She said, just read this, Pastor. I got home and I opened the card and I came in. I'm telling you, I was weeping. My wife said, what is it? I said, I want you to read this card. A girl by the name of Maggie wrote me and she said, Pastor, I'm 7 months pregnant. 6 months ago, I sat in your church, never been there before. And that Sunday, you preached about life beginning at conception. And she said, we were on our way to the abortion clinic, and we were going to terminate this pregnancy. But because of what we heard from the man of God, from the Word of God, we knelt under the truth of God, and I'm now 7 months pregnant. And then she wrote this line. She said, I want you to know on that given Sunday, your preaching saved the life of my little baby. Do you think it's important that you hear the voice of God when you stand to speak? You don't just find a text, and I'm telling you, God's got to give us this because it's a spiritual exhortation. And we hear it all the time. God can do more in a minute than we can do in a lifetime, but it's really true. And when you get filled, the Spirit of God comes through, there is a spiritual exhortation that will emanate through you, and it will give life to those around you. But there's a second thing that happens. Not only is there a spiritual exhortation, there is, and this is way mystical, but forgive me, I didn't ask to come. There then rises in us a spiritual discernment of the spiritual climate or atmosphere that we find ourselves placed in, and that you begin to know. We're reading from John today. Jesus says in that text that I know my sheep hear my voice. I'm telling you, when you get full of God, He begins to speak into your heart. Your dear president called me several months ago regarding Dr. Leo Day. I can tell you that Leo is in the will of God. Here's how I know. Before my good friend, Dr. Paige Patterson, called me, I had already sent my executive pastor to look at a new minister of music. I knew that Leo was leaving. I had not talked to him about it. I had no committee call me. The president had not called me. I'm just telling you, the Spirit of God spoke into my heart and said, you better get ready and do your preparation, because I'm doing a work and moving some people around. Now, you can call that whatever you want to, but I'm telling you, if you get quiet before God and that fears your vessel, I'm telling you, the Lord will look after you. He'll speak into your heart and soul. And He'll know. Dr. Stephen Olford, he's my sweet, dear friend before he died, that just became my encourager, had him in our church. And I'd love to hear him preach, and he'd roll those R's. And he said, young man, you don't witness to everyone you meet. You just witness to those the Holy Ghost tells you to witness to. And if you'll witness to everybody the Holy Ghost tells you to witness to, he'll keep you so busy you won't have anything else to do. And then he looked at me and he said, you know, you can bruise fruit and you can cast your pearls before swine. And if you don't take time to get your vessel right, before Leo was our minister of music, Dr. Vernon Whaley was my minister of music. Jerry Falwell took my minister of music. He's now the dean of school up at Liberty. I'll never forget the day Dr. Falwell called. He said, Ted, I'd like to have permission to talk to Dr. Whaley. And I said to him, you have never asked anyone for permission to do anything in your life. When is he coming to Liberty? But I'd already sat with Vernon and said, I want you to know I release you to whatever the will of God is for your life. God has a way of speaking into your heart if you'll ever get still enough to hear Him. Yeah, I don't know what you call that. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of power will be of God and not of ourselves. We've had enough of us. That's why we're in the mess we're in. We need Him. I grew up in the Jesus movement. 1969, the president talks about my red hair. He should have seen it down on my collar. We were radical, wearing shoes and no socks. Oh man, that was radicality in 69, 70, 71. I used to carry my socks in my back pocket dear while I was at school, but I'd put them on before I came home because mama whipped my behind if I didn't have any socks on when I got home. I was radical, but I wasn't that radical. I had that hair down. God did something in our soul. And there was a little song that we'd sing. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Lord, I lift it up, fill my cup, and make me whole. Like the woman at the well, I was thirsting for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from a well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup. And I'm telling you, I was 18 for the first time I ever lifted my vessel. And I said, Lord, fill me. Fill me. If your earthly Father will give you good things, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask Him? And your vessel becomes a vessel of honor, not because of who you are on the outside, but because of who He is on the inside. In 35 years, somebody's come back here and speak in chapel, and I'll be in heaven. Not heaven, I'll be close. When you go out and do that ministry for 35 years, just remember, we've seen enough of you. We need to see your Lord. Ask Him to make you a vessel of honor and not dishonor. Father, thank you today for your word. Thank you for your Spirit. And I pray, Father, for students and faculty and friends alike sitting in this place today. Fill them. Make them usable for the Master, sanctified vessels of honor, is my prayer today in Jesus' strong and blessed name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this audio from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. If you want more information on our academic programs, or if you would like to support our mission, visit www.swbts.edu.